So stand back and listen. Praise the Lord, she started to preach me happy. I said, what you've given me, we'll wait for another time. That's all right. We're going to go into part two. 2 weeks ago, I spoke on the first part of seven indicators of Christ's return. The seven indicators are this. Israel regathering and establishment in Palestine. We looked at that. The great falling away. Iniquity abounds. The rise of false doctrine. The Noah-Lot syndrome. And the last one is lovers of pleasure. This morning we're going to look at two of them together because one does. It causes the other one to come on. We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Acts 1 and 11 says this, it's the theme verse for this, that the same Jesus you've seen going away in the clouds, you'll see him coming again in like manner. But today we're going to look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3, and we're going to look and a detailed look at Matthew 24:17, where it says, "Where the love of many waxes cold, and because iniquity abounds." I have heard this verse in 41 years of preaching. I've heard this verse preached every which way. But what I want to do this morning is look at it. How many like fried chicken? Okay. It's good if you bite into it, right? It's real good. But I like it better when you can just take and tear it apart and eat it piece by piece. Well, this morning we're going to eat it piece by piece rather than bite into it. Okay? And this is what it says. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Let no one deceive you or beguile you in any way. But the day will not come except the apostasy comes first, unless the predicted great falling away of those who profess to be Christians has come. And the man of lawlessness of sin is revealed, who is the son of doom, of perdition. Notice it says right there that there comes a day of apostasy. And in the King James it says this about it. It's get a little heavy at first this morning, but we will end up happy, all right? I promise you that. So let no man deceive you by any means, for the day shall come, there shall come a falling away first, and the man of sin revealed, the son of perdition. That's what it says in the King James. When I looked this up in the Greek to refresh my memory about falling away, in the Greek, it is not two words. The same word is used for both falling and away. So it means they are together. And this is what it says. Apostasis, where we get our word apostate. It is a defection from the truth, apostasy, a falling away, a forsaking. It comes from the root word apostasion, which means something that is separative. It means actually like a divorce, that they pull away from the gospel. Well, what is apostasy? I've heard people preach, you know, the pews are empty because of the great falling away. You can have a church full of apostates. I don't think we have any here this morning. But we can have a church full of apostates, people who've fallen away the truth of the gospel. So, In other words, to understand what the falling away is about, you got to understand what apostasy is about. So turn with me to the sixth chapter of Hebrews. We're going to look at verses 4 through 6. We're going to camp out in that for a while. Praise the Lord. And I hope we're going to lay some things to rest for some of you. Praise the Lord. We're living in a very, very serious time. As far as the coming of the Lord is being very close. I believe it is. Verse 4 of Hebrews 6. For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they should what? Fall away. There is the term. To renew them again unto repentance, seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, putting him to open shame. I want to break that down. I want to look at it. Praise the Lord. The word enlightened, right there, once you've been enlightened, in other words, once you've been born again, it means that it has shed light, it has brightened up. You're made to see something because light has been shed on it. You're made to see that you need Jesus as a Savior because the Holy Spirit has illuminated that in your heart. Your heart has been enlightened. So once that has happened, he says, and tasted of the heavenly gift. The word tasted in the Greek means to eat, to taste, to experience something. Once you have experienced him as Lord and Savior. See, an apostate is not somebody who has never known Christ. An apostate is somebody who has known Jesus, that has experienced him, tasted of the heavenly gift. Jesus said to the woman at the well of Samaria in John chapter 4, verse 10, he said, if you knew it was the gift of God that it was talking to you, you would ask of me water. He called himself the gift. So once you have experienced Jesus as your Savior, and then it says this, and made partakers of the Holy Ghost. A partaker in the Greek means a sharer, associate, a partner. In other words, you have received and experienced this also, the baptism of the Spirit. Wow. So you got saved, you've tasted of the Holy Ghost, and it says, again, you fall away. What is falling away? You defect from the truth as a deliberate act. You remove yourself from it. It says it's impossible to renew. And in the Greek, it means to restore. Wow. To repentance. In other words, to cause you to think differently. To cause you to feel guilty. And said, what you have done is you crucified. And in the Greek, it means to re-crucify again. You put him to that shame again. Wow. Then it says the shame is to publicly expose something like in a negative light. So once you have received Jesus, once you've tasted of the heavenly gift, once you've tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, which is the baptism of the Spirit, it's just a down payment. It says so in the first chapter of Ephesians, praise the Lord, that the promise of the Spirit is an earnest. What is an earnest? It's a down payment of what's going to come. Think of your best blessing that the Holy Spirit has blessed you with, and that is a teaspoonful of honey, what it is going to be like to live in the presence of God forevermore. Once you have tasted of that, once you've experienced him, hallelujah, and you turn from him, I'm not talking about what we call backsliders. I mean, turn and walk away from him. Do you realize that there are some churches that call themselves Christians? And I'm not here to hammer churches and denominations, but I'm here to hammer false doctrine. So in do that, I have to say churches, praise the Lord, that no longer believe that where Jesus shed his blood upon the cross is sufficient for our sins. Don't believe it anymore. Don't preach it. Took the hymnals out of the church that had the hymns in it about the blood. And they're right here in the valley. They're right here across the United States. And some of these churches will tell you, you need to love people where they are. Yes, that is true. But we also are called of God, as men of God and women of God, to tell them that they must repent of their sin. Come on, hallelujah. You must repent of your sin. I can't get to heaven because I've been a good boy. I get to heaven because I have believed on what Jesus did for me. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of the Lord. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Hallelujah. Once you've experienced Him. Hallelujah. And I will tell you this, you'll find this out very quickly. Who is going to persecute people who believe that Jesus was virgin born? Born of the Virgin Mary? Conceived by the Holy Ghost? That He was God incarnate, God in flesh, as well as man? Who's going to persecute you? The people who've went into apostasy. Apostasy will come in this last day. We're starting to see it. It's starting to spread. And I want to say this. This sounds political, but politics has so entered the sphere of spiritual matters, hallelujah, that sometimes it's hard to separate it. I don't care if you're Democrat or Republican, independent. I don't care if you're libertarian. I'm not interested in your party. I'm interested in, hallelujah, are you right with God? Are you where you should be? Hallelujah. Amen. And see, when this begins to happen, rest assured, you can look up, because it says the son of perdition can't be revealed till this starts to happen. When this starts to happen, then you can see that Jesus is getting ready to come, rapturous church. You're ready, you'll leave. Come on, hallelujah. And you won't be here to suffer this mess. I'm going to get into this later this fall because the Holy Spirit's then dealt with me about it. But I want to finish this first because this is a foundation to go to about the rapture and about where the Antichrist will come from. I want to tell you this. This with ISIS is setting the stage for the second coming of Christ. Because the Antichrist will come out of the old nation of Assyria. And the caliphate, which ISIS wants to establish, they want to cover the area that was Assyria, which is now modern-day Syria and Iraq, part of Lebanon and part of Turkey. And I know you make people uncomfortable when you preach like this. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you, I want you ready. I don't want your blood on my hands when I stand at the judgment seat of Christ because I did not preach what the Holy Spirit directed me to preach. And I say this to you with all kindness and all love. If you get angry at me and you never come back again, I'll still love you. I still got to preach what He's given me to preach. Come on, hallelujah. I cannot sugarcoat this for you. I cannot tickle your ears about this. I tell you this because I love you, and not to run you down, not to run you off, not to hurt you. Hallelujah. Remember when Mama and Daddy used to tell you, I'm doing this because I love you, and you're standing there thinking, how? This is one of those moments. All right. Praise the Lord. But I'm saying to you, an apostate will put Jesus to an open shame. 2 Peter chapter 2 says this, and it gives a description of what apostates are like. Are you ready? In verse 1, the very first thing that they do, they bring you what King James calls a damnable heresy. What is damnation? Something that will damn your soul to hell. I hear people say all the time, it doesn't matter where I go to church as long as I believe on the Lord. I hate to burst your bubble, but that's wrong. Because the Bible says this, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter in. I got a cold wave on that one. Praise the Lord. Not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter in, but he that doeth the will of the Father. You've got to be where the Lord has directed you to be and be there in His will and do it. And I will say this, I believe most of this group is in the will of the Lord. If you're not, because I've had the Holy Spirit deal with me about people who weren't in the will of the Lord and were here before. Amen? Okay. So, bring a damnable heresy. They deny the Lord bought them. And this is what you will hear out of apostate churches. We don't need to preach about this gory cross anymore. We don't need to preach about Jesus shedding his blood. I'm going to tell you, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And it is the blood that washes my sin and your sin away and washes us as clean as the virgin snow and makes us as pure and holy where we were as dirty and filthy as we could be in the spiritual realm. All of us were. I was, you was, till the Lord cleaned us up. Hallelujah. Isaiah 64 says that our righteousness, what we think is right, is as a set of filthy rags, but God's righteousness is clean. Come on. The Bible says that in this, in Acts 20 and 28, that Jesus purchased the church with his blood. He purchased you with his blood. 1 Corinthians 6 and 20 says this. Hallelujah. That he bought you both body and spirit. He bought both of them. That's why we can stand up here and sing what we sung a while ago. I believe that you're my healer. I believe that you are all I need. I believe that you are my portion. I believe that you are more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. Hallelujah. When friends turn around and leave you, when family forsakes you, come on, I'm preaching to somebody right now. Hallelujah. When the church members no longer want to associate with you, hallelujah, I want to say this. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Hallelujah. He will go with you all the way to the end. Hallelujah. Because he bought you and made you his very own. He'll say to you in those times, come on, child. Climb up in my lap and I'll hold you till this is over with. Hallelujah. I'll hold you and I will keep you. Yes, I still believe in the blood. Yes, I still believe in the old rugged cross. Yes, there are folks that are falling away from it. Hallelujah. And apostasy? Well, no, I'm about to skip something important. I better not say go there yet. 1 Peter says that we're bought with incorruptible blood of Jesus Christ. We're not saved by corruptible things such as silver and gold. We're saved because he shed his blood. 1 Corinthians 12:3. No man says Jesus is accursed. That you can only say Jesus is your Lord and Savior by the Holy Ghost. Apostates, they don't want to call him Lord and Savior. They want to deny that he bought them. Okay? Apostates are full of sexual sins. I'm not saying everybody that does sexual sin is an apostate. They're not. But this is one of their traits. They are self-willed. They're self-ish. It's all about them. They scoff at the government. They have eyes full of adultery, as it says there in that second chapter of 2 Peter, that does not cease. And they seek to seduce unstable souls. Now, eyes full of adultery, that means that sexual sin is constantly before their heart, on their mind, and that's what they're looking for that. I was in a place of business about 3 weeks ago. In fact, I was getting oil change. And that's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to tell you where I was at. Because I don't think these folks realized. They just had the TV on for the customers watching this program come on. And I heard this lady say, and I quote her, because somebody had, one of the other people on the program had scolded her for her adultery. This is on national television. And she said, and I quote, I will be damned if I will let somebody tell me that I'm a consenting adult and I have a consenting man, that I'm wrong. First, you got to understand, when you use the word damned, only God has the right to damn something to eternity. And when you use it, you're usurping the authority of God, and you are on dangerous ground. I know they would get quiet. And besides this, she was talking about having an affair with a married man. Yes, that's wrong. You would run me out of here on the rail and should if I would stand up here and tell you now that it's all right for me to have my mistress on the side and still be married to my wife and still pastor this church. See, I see some of you going like that. Come on, hallelujah. Apostates are full of adultery and sexual sin. And you'll know them by that. Hallelujah. This is what it says. And I have some of my brethren, I love them, they'll say to you, well, they were never saved. Don't call God a liar. Come on, don't call God a liar. I'm going to read something to you right now. I'm going to read it from 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. This is what it says. That after they had escaped the pollution of this world through the full personal knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again became entangled in them and overcome, and their last condition is worse than for them than the first. For it had been never to obtain the full personal knowledge of the way of righteousness would have been better for them than to obtain such knowledge and turn back from the holy commandment which was verbally delivered to them. There has been befallen them the thing spoken of in the true proverb. The dog has turned back to his own vomit. The sow is washed only to wallow in the mire again. He's saying right there that they knew Jesus. They had a personal, I read it to you a minute ago in Hebrews 6. They had a personal relationship with him. And then they turn around, praise the Lord, and deny that he bought them. You say, man, you're heavy for me this morning. I know. Hallelujah. I got to go a little bit farther. Matthew 24 and 17. I want to go there right quickly. I'm running out of time and I'm trying to get this in because I want to preach you happy before I leave here. Praise the Lord. I said 17 is 24:12. I wrote that down wrong. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Iniquity abounding is what is causing apostasy. Are you getting, you hearing what I'm saying? Iniquity comes from a Greek word, A-N-O-M-I-A. I don't know how to pronounce it. It means a violation of law, wickedness, transgression, which of the law. So if I know better than to lie and I lie, I've committed iniquity. I know Christians that think it's all right to tell a little white lie. And the Bible says a lie is a lie, whether it's white, black, yellow, or red. Okay? The Bible says that you honor your father and your mother. Now, I know some of you here did not have a good relationship with father or mother, but if you can, by the grace of God, forgive them and honor them just for the fact that they are your parent. Come on, God will bless you. Don't transgress and sin by that. Hallelujah. Amen? You're to love the Lord with all your heart. You're not to bow to any graven images. You're not to worship any other God. Come on. You're not to covet what belongs to your neighbor. I'm not to covet A.J. Studebaker. Amen? It's all right to ask the Lord to give me one like it, but not to ask him to give me his. There's a difference. All right? Praise the Lord. It also says there, don't covet your neighbor's wife. God will give you your own wife or your own husband. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, Pastor, you're on a roll this morning. I'm just preaching something that the Lord placed in my heart back in July, over 60 days ago, and he said, now's the time. It says iniquity abounds. It means to increase or multiply. It becomes an overwhelming number. You can't go anywhere without stuff smacking you in the face. Can't cut on the TV without getting something sexually explicit. Most stations, not all, thank God. And it says the love, or the agape love, the affection, the charity will grow cold. The word cold means to reduce in the temperature, to chill. The Bible has a lot to say about your love. It caused you to be fervent in it. But Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he is commending the church at Ephesus for their stand for purity against false apostles who were really apostates, standing against them. He said, but I have somewhat against you. You have left your first love. How can I describe your first love? Remember when you first got saved? You couldn't wait for church. You couldn't get enough of the word. You wanted to soak up all that you could get. Hallelujah. If you've cooled off from that, I've got a word, because every so often pastor has to go back and do this. Lord, I realize I've cooled off some, so I need to repent, I need to change my direction, and I need to get right back on track and love you with all my heart. Come on, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't care if somebody else ain't doing it. I'm going to do it because I've got to be ready. Come on, hallelujah. I don't want my love to wax cold. I don't want to miss this blessed event that's going to come. Hallelujah. I want to be ready. Hallelujah. See, I'm not angry at you this morning, but I know the responsibility that I hold, and I know that one day when I stand before God, every sermon I've ever preached, I will give account to God and every soul that I've been given the privilege to be to oversee and to shepherd and to love them and encourage them in God. I will be responsible for what I told them. I won't be responsible for how they react, but I'll be responsible for what I told them. Hallelujah. And I do care. And that's why messages like this for a pastor are very difficult to preach. But praise the Lord, when the Lord directs them, then you deliver them. Hallelujah. And you love the flock. Romans chapter 13, verses 8 through 11 says, love works no ill. If you want to live pure, if you want to live holy, learn how to love people. Especially the ones that are really hard to love. Come on, hallelujah. Because love fulfills the commandments. So you won't sin if you walk in love. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 1 says this, that we are made holy by His love. I've told the Lord a few times in my life, I said, you're going to have to help me love Him. You're going to have to help me love her, because I want to knock them out. I want to just go, like that. I want to grab them by the neck, and I want to lay hands on them, but not in the right way. Come on, hallelujah. And the Lord has took that anger and that being upset and turned it around and caused me to love those people where I could walk up and speak peaceably to them, and they still you treat me like dirt. Come on, hallelujah. The love of God will cause you to do that, because love bears all things, believes all things, hopes in all things. Come on, hallelujah. Love will enable you to walk through the thick of it, hallelujah, and come out victorious. Hallelujah. I'm ready to preach right now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You say, with all these negative things that are going on, how am I going to make it? Let me tell you how right now. Praise the Lord. It says this in Romans chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, that if sin does abound, grace does more abound. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If sin is abounding, I'm going to tell you the grace of God is enough. Paul was told by Jesus, and he said, will you take away this thorn in the flesh that has hit me three times, the messenger of Satan buffeting me? And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. Do you understand that the grace of God is where in the Greek it says this, that it's God's effect and presence moving upon you and in your life? That God's presence in your life and His effect upon you in your life, hallelujah, will be enough to sustain you, praise the Lord, no matter what hell may tempt you with, no matter what may come, no matter how wicked it may get, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, hallelujah. You ought to be happy right now, hallelujah, that God will sustain you, God will give you the grace to bear it, and God will cause you to go all the way through. Philippians 1 and 6 says, the same work that you begin in me, I believe He's able to perform it to that day. The same thing He began at your salvation, He's still working in you if you'll let Him do it. Amen. Praise the Lord. And if He will work that in you, He will do that to the day He calls you home. Hallelujah. Or to the day, hallelujah, He raptures you out of this place.
He will keep you. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Hallelujah. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm talking about a God that will keep you. Whew. Even though iniquity is abounding, even though people are falling away but groves, hallelujah. Because they're doing it don't mean I have to do it or you have to do it. Praise the Lord. Let me make you happy with these last three verses and I'm done. Hallelujah. I've sat and looked at this and looked at this and looked at this for weeks. I went back and looked in the Greek for weeks. I went back and looked at scriptures for weeks. And I said, Lord, I feel bound. But when he released me to preach this, all the binding left. And this is what it says in Jude. There's no chapters, just verses. 21 to 24. Keep yourselves what? In the love of God. I told you the love of God will keep you. Keep yourselves in the love of God and looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Some have compassion making a difference. Others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. Now, here's what I want you to get. Now unto him, which is Jesus, that is able to keep you from falling. Did you get that? To keep you from falling. Falling away. Becoming an apostate. He's able to keep you from falling away. Keep you from falling. To present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He can present you there, praise the Lord, as clean as a pure snow that has just fell. It's in his love and it's in his blood. Oh, glory. With exceeding joy. That exceeding joy is not just hallelujah. That exceeding joy is glory. Hallelujah. I have made it. He has blessed me. He has brought me there. You say, you kind of scared me with that. God ain't nervous. He's got that going on in heaven all the time. He likes it. Come on. He likes your worship. In fact, he loves your worship. And he loves you. Understand, his grace will abound. He will keep performing that which he has started in you. And understand, he is able to keep you, if you'll stay in the love of God, keep you until that day when you stand in his presence. Come here, brother. Stand in his presence. And you stood there and your works or my works had burned up. Our fleshly works. And all that remains is what we've done in the love of God and in faith. And we're starting to weep. He reaches up with those nail-pierced hands, wipes those tears from your eyes, takes you by the hand. Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'm going to make you ruler over many. Come on and enter into the joys of the Lord. Hallelujah. Do you think that you're going to be quiet when he says that? Hallelujah. You're going to have to peel me off the throne room ceiling if it's got one. I don't know if it does or not. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And he says, come on, Mike. Come on, Mike. Hallelujah. And I hear him say that. So let's not be discouraged because we see this happening. But Luke 21 sums it up like this. Look up because your redemption draws nigh. Ooh, glory. I'm happy. I don't think that I am, but if I go home today and you look down at my corpse, don't weep for me. Weep for you because you're left behind. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. I'm ready to meet him. I want us to come around. This is a good time to do this. And we're going to do communion. Come on, if you will. You know Jesus as your Savior. I want you to come up and do communion with us. And I'll ask our deacons if you will go ahead and serve those that are